The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
What's working on purpose anyway? Each week, we ponder the answer to this question. People ache for meaning and purpose at work, to contribute their talents passionately, and know their lives really matter. They crave being part of an organization that inspires them and helps them grow into realizing their highest potential. Business can be such a force for good in the world, elevating humanity. In our program, we provide guidance and inspiration to help usher in this world we all want, working on purpose. Now, here's your host, Dr. Elise Cortez.
Welcome back to the Working on Purpose program. Thanks for tuning in this week. Great to have you. I'm your host, Dr. Elise Cortez, joining you live from Dallas, which is home base for me. If we've not met yet and you don't know me, I'm a management consultant, organizational logotherapist, speaker, and author. My team and I, Elise Cortez and Associates, help companies to enliven their operations by building inspirational leaders and cultures activated by meaning and purpose to turn those companies from a flatline EKG to a vibrant workplace. There, people are intrinsically motivated to perform at their best, grow into their highest potential, and are committed to stay and help deliver on the company's mission. You can learn more about and how we can work together at elisecortez.com. Now let's get into today's program. With us is the Chief Technology Officer of a cutting-edge tech company who is a big believer in the power of language models like ChatGPT to revolutionize the way we work and learn. Travis James is the fractional CTO of Tribe Health Solutions based in Texas, Frisco specifically. He has more than 20 years of experience in software development, machine learning, architecture, natural language processing, and decentralized distributed systems. Today, we'll be talking about what he is currently pouring himself into at Tribe Health Solutions and hear his perspective on how the AI tool ChatGPT can be leveraged to elevate our productivity and creativity and distinguish our uniqueness as humans. He joins us today from Frisco, Texas. Travis, welcome to Working on Purpose.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And, you know, this idea came because of a conversation that we had about me sharing something about what I had read about how university professors were going to have a hard time actually dealing with this new tool that's come out here and students in deciding who had actually written the paper. And you gave such a great perspective on that, which I want to get into later, that is what made me say, you got to come on Working Purpose and talk about this and help us understand what most of us don't get about this new tool. So we'll get there eventually. But first, Travis, I want to start by just talking about your background. It's pretty unique, I think, that you started your technology background. I think you told me that you started writing code at age 7. Is that right?
About age 8.
Okay. So we have to figure out first, why? What was it about? What was the impetus? Why did you start coding at such a young age?
Well, it was really about wanting to spend time with my father. Actually, my father was a research chemist at the time, and he was getting a degree in computer science, a master's degree in computer science, at night and on the weekends. And so it was right around the time that we were living in Virginia at the time. He got his degree from VCU in Richmond, Virginia. And if I wanted to spend time with him, I spent time with him doing what he did on the weekends. And so I would learn everything about, the kind of programs he was writing. I even would use the coupler and everything to dial up and write my own little programs and things like that.
The power of love. That's so beautiful, Travis. I love that. Okay, well, so then from there, you have amassed quite a career. I know you had a stint at Microsoft, and later you were at American Airlines as an enterprise architect, and you have found your way along some pretty interesting entrepreneurial places as well. So can you say a little bit of it? Just kind of give us a bit of a tour of your background.
Yes. So it was always a dream of mine to work for Microsoft. When I was in my mid-20s, I was doing some work for McAfee, which on the virus scan product and some network solutions products there. And it just so happened that a former manager of mine there joined Microsoft and then recruited me to go with him. And so I took the opportunity and started with Microsoft, and it was one of the best experiences I've had in my life, to even to this moment.
And why did you leave?
Well, ironically, I left because I kind of rose to a point within Microsoft as I was working in the consulting services division to a point where I either had to take long periods of time on the road to places like South Africa, I was married and had young children at the time, and I kind of made the choice at the time of family over career.
Understood. Okay, well, so how did you find your way into the entrepreneurial world?
That's very interesting. So after I left Microsoft, Microsoft was still the way I made money. I started immediately a Microsoft solutions provider, which at the time was the route for people who had my expertise. Microsoft was trying to limit their risk by having external entities writing code on their behalf after having worked at Microsoft. And so I did that for about 10 years from 1998 to 2008. And during that time, I did some work for Mark Cuban on broadcast.com. One of my specialties is video streaming technologies as well. And they were using Microsoft's Media Encoder to encode video that was sent over the internet from Indiana and other places for the basketball games you want to transmit. And I wrote some tools that allowed you to insert local commercial content in the middle of those streams without breaking them up. And it was that technology that he sold to Yahoo for $4 billion. Mm-hmm. So I made, I don't know, maybe $1.5 million in 1999 doing that work. He made $4 billion. That was all I needed to sell me on entrepreneurship.
What a great story, Travis. That's amazing. Totally amazing. Yeah, that's kind of an interesting return on investment there. So what's also interesting to me is that you specialize in building innovative solutions that leverage artificial intelligence, natural language processing, real-time communications, and IoT. That's just quite an interesting combination there. How did you end up heading down that particular path?
Well, you know, it was my experience of being a consultant during those 10 years that Microsoft sent me to their most difficult clients. And there's a component of the technologies that we have at Tribe Health today that are directly descended from my work during those 10 years. Ironically, while those sound like vastly, you know, different technical areas, they all work with the same dynamics. They have the same kind of structure and to them. And as a result, I built engines because my background was, you know, in building compilers. I worked on the compiler for C++ and other languages, including .NET just before I left. And I build things as an empty container that you populate with the knowledge of the things that you want to manage and then a way to execute on those things. And as a result, just about anything that you could write can be modeled that way, regardless of the dynamic. And then they can be combined to create an ecosystem of things that communicate with each other. And that is the structure, essentially, of what we've built with Tribe Core at Tribe Health Solutions.
I wanted to hear about that as well. But before we do, I think it's interesting. I don't know if you remember this in some of our other conversations, but I started my human capital career in recruiting, and I was specifically an IT recruiter for those first 5 years. And what's interesting to me about you working in the space is that you don't have an electrical engineering degree. You have a mechanical engineering degree, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And how does that, you've said something before about this, but how does that perspective, how do you think that changes your perspective or the way that you approach coding?
Well, there are two things that that work together to change my, that make my perspective on coding a little different. One is simply the fact that I physically can't remember a time that I didn't write some kind of code because I started so early. As a result of that, then it's something that more of like what I am than you know what I do. And because of that, I have a different perspective on how to learn how to do it and how to execute the steps. So that's, you know, that's the first thing that comes to mind when it comes, you know, to doing that. The second thing is that when you are taking engineering at a university, I was at University of Texas, It's impossible to memorize everything they need to know about fluid dynamics, about, you know, Newton's third law, about, you know, all these things. There are a few core formulas that you remember, and you derive everything from those, right? Cool. And it is that thought process, that pattern, that is different from the way, at least from what I've understood so far of my career hiring computer science students, is different from their perspective. They memorize a lot of syntax, linguistics for a specific language, and they get in, kind of tied to that technology. As a result, it's more of a memorization exercise than an engineering exercise. And as software has evolved, it has become a lot more important to be more engineering focused structure and understanding that the behavior and dynamics. And that is what I believe puts not just those who have an engineering background ahead, but also those who have degrees in languages, who speak multiple languages, multiple grammars. They end up with a lot easier transition into understanding multiple types of languages and technologies in a stack.
Mm, fascinating. Love that. Well, now to layer in one other bit here that I think is really interesting about you and the way that you approach your work, as I know you have a passion for beauty in the design of things. I'm interested in how you express your this kind of a passion in your work.
Yeah, so it has to do with the personality that is attached to the software you build and how it behaves. For me, software is a living thing. It's a thing that as long as it's being used, it never dies. It's not a thing that you just complete and then walk away from. It's something that forever lives through multiple iterations and cycles. And when you start a project, you kind of pick a personality for that software that governs how it's built, what the rules are for extending it, and how you ensure that it remains bug-free and then always does the job that is expected of it. And it is that kind of type of thought process that I believe makes things a little different in how I build. And it's the essence of what I mean about art in technology, because not everything can be programmed in to your software. There's unexpected conditions. There's a way that software can be designed to respond to conditions it didn't expect. And a lot of that can be aggressive in a certain way. It can be very defensive. It can be proactive. It's just pretty much like a human being, really.
Mm, that's fascinating. Again, none of these things that you've been saying so far are things that I think that I really have heard others talk about. So I think that's your very fresh perspective, or maybe I've been out of the game way too long. I don't know. But so then now we have to hear about what you're now doing at Tribe Health Solutions. What's that all about?
Well, Tribe Health Solutions is all about empowering the individual to be the custodian in management of their own medical data. That is probably the most broken thing when it comes to our healthcare system today, is the fact that the individual is not the steward of their own data. It's trapped in some silo that is actually owned by someone else who's the one making money off the fact that they have your data. This is what restricts the movement that you can have within the healthcare ecosystem. It makes it difficult for you to, you know, change providers or share your data with specialists that you might need, get multiple opinions from multiple sources, and create an ecosystem. You can't create your own ecosystem around your own data. These are the things that we're wanting to address at Tribe Health, because it's the key to the future, especially as more disruptive ways of providing medicine have appeared, like wellness practices, more people going to chiropractors, more people going to aesthetics practices for, you know, skin and other things that have a little bit of a medical component to it. And then a lot of people are into optimization, whether it be, you know, mental health optimization, counseling, meditation, and all of these things require, when you do them to at a high level, they require your data, like an Oura ring, like what I'm wearing here, keeps track of my sleep patterns. It keeps track of like heart rate variability and other things that can be pointers to other types of warnings for medical conditions, or simply tell me that I'm overtraining and I probably shouldn't work out today.
So who is your ultimate customer? Who buys your, is it a device? Who buys?
Well, our software is provided as a service and is sold in, I would say, three different ways. One, it's software as a service. We have a module that does a specific job for you that will integrate well with your EMR system or whatever system that you're looking for. And you can just buy that and pay a subscription fee, and then you're off and running, right? Then there are software that is a platform that you can build your own software on top of. So our customers for that would be other startups that are trying to do something disruptive in the field that require that they have a way to build an ecosystem around their particular part of the services they provide. Those types of things can be sleep centers, like what we're doing with a company called MetaBio in Australia, where they can basically allow you to be able to take control of and share your sleep study data with any of your other practitioners. It can be, any of these software companies that we have. We have two software companies that are using our platform in conjunction with generative AI services to do things like fix the notes that a doctor takes to assure that when they show up in a medical record there, they show up in a way that is likely for them to be able to get paid on time. And then also, likewise, other generative AI technology that can fix medical records and provide notes that defend a particular charge when a charge or a pre-authorization or something like that is denied.
That is fascinating, Travis. That is so cool. Now, if that weren't enough already, what you're doing, I also noticed on your LinkedIn profile that you're up to something called ThinkKing. What is that?
Yes. So ThinkKing is really kind of my incubator of ideas entity, where we actually started with an earlier version of what is now ChatGPT and all those types of technologies. Wow. So I just work with in natural language processing on a project with Stanford University, perhaps 8-9 years ago, where I worked with their computer science department to build a project that was called Almond, which was basically an open source version of Alexa, and it gave you a model for doing skills and things like that. Same thing as Alexa does. The difference is all the models would execute locally, so that you can preserve privacy and all of that. And it's very similar to how Siri works in principle, where everything gets processed locally, but then giving you access to, well, an ecosystem of other providers that can provide you skills that then you can download and run locally. And this is a lot better than a model like Alexa, where everything goes up to the cloud. They're listening in on all your conversations and you get it all. So Google's very similar. This basically guarantees your privacy will be preserved, while at the same time ensuring that you can have models that are consistently updated and trained at the same time, so that you get the same level of performance.
Travis, that's amazing. You know, I really have a tremendous respect for what you do, because as you know, it's way out of the line of what I do. So really appreciate you sharing, getting some foundation here on where you come from and really what goes into your work. Let's grab our first break. I'm your host, Dr. Elise Cortez. We're on the air with Travis James, who is the fractional CTO of Tribe Health Solutions. We've been hearing about where he's come from, how he's built his expertise. After the break, we're going to get into how we can actually use ChatGPT to become more efficient, effective, and distinguished. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Dr. Elise Cortez is a management consultant specializing in meaning and purpose, an inspirational speaker and author. She helps companies visioneer for greater purpose among stakeholders and develop purpose-inspired leadership and meaning-infused cultures that elevate fulfillment, performance, and commitment within the workforce. To learn more or to invite Elise to speak to your organization, please visit her at elisecortez.com. Let's talk about how to get your employees working on purpose. This is Working on Purpose with Dr. Elise Cortez. To reach our program today or to open a conversation with Elise, send an email to Elise, A-L-I-S-E, at elisecortez.com. Now, back to Working on Purpose.
Thanks for staying with us and welcome back to Working on Purpose. If you're just joining the program now, my guest is Travis James. He is the founder of Tribe Health Solutions. He specializes in building innovative solutions that leverage artificial intelligence, natural language processing, real-time communications, and IoT. I'm your host, Dr. Elise Cortez. Okay, so now we have to get into how we can actually use this stuff. But before we do, for our listeners and viewers who don't really know anything about ChatGPT, let me just say a couple of things about it that I've learned from my research and what you've taught me by sharing some of these resources. So I understand that ChatGPT is, well, we can already say it isn't a psychic oracle or something out of sci-fi, well, like some people might be imagining. It's a language model using huge sums of data. So I think that's really interesting just to be able to start there. So can you say, help us understand a bit more about how it actually works?
Sure. So, you know, what GPT stands for is a generative pre-trained transformer. And the third, you hear talk of GPT 2, 3, and 4, you know, those are generations of the model. And each generation, they is trained on an increasingly larger set of seed data and data points, you know. So, like, for instance, GPT 3 was trained on 175 billion parameters. GPT-4 was trained on close to a trillion parameters. Hmm. Now, what's unique about GPT technology is in the T part, the transformer part, is important because it's a new approach to machine learning and how to train a model and how to have that model execute at runtime based on changes that it might have, but you might have in the environment. And that is what makes GPT magical. There have been models for natural language processing and natural language understanding and things like that that could perform a lot of these functions based on, you know, a similar method. You train it on a huge amount of data and then you get these models are able to predict things or classify things. The difference is that in order to make changes to those older models, you had to train them again. Right, mm-hmm. Which on a data set. And that training is extremely expensive, takes a long time to do. And it's also fixed. It's fixed with regard to the types of parameters that it can understand. And then there are limits on its function. Transformer technologies allow you to take a base model and expand it in its features and functions based on data you provide it, right? And what's interesting about ChatGPT is that you can make it remember the history of your conversations by providing what are called embeddings, where basically you take the previous questions and answers and things like that, and then you can feed those back into the next request so that the engine has a context for understanding things. Now, the base ChatGPT model can really only remember about the last four or five things you said. Mm. I'm not sure if you ever played with it where you went to try to do a long conversation, but about four or five iterations in, it's going to forget all about what you're talking about, right, in the base model. And that has to do with the fact that with each request, you're sending a larger and larger amount of data, the tokens, the amount, a token is approximately three-fourths of a word, that is all the words that you have sent before it into the engine, and then you approach a limit. Like in the base model, there's like a 2,000 token limit. If you're using the paid version, there's a 4,000 token limit. If you're using GPT-4 with OpenAI services, like through, you can get up to like 500, it's a huge limit. You can get up to 500 pages of information back and forth.
Wow.
You know, so, but you pay by the token, when it comes to the paid models. And so you want to be efficient with that. And to be efficient, that is the reason why you have word embeddings, which basically build an equation that represents a catalog of all the similar stuff, similar to the inputs that you have given, so that you give the engine a very rich context with a minimal amount of data. And that's how you optimize those engines so that they can perform better. And another trait of GPT technologies is that you can fine tune them, which is a mini training method that doesn't require you to retrain the whole thing, which you can train on data sets that you provided that that prevent what are called hallucinations. If you ever
have heard this, yes.
Yeah, if you ever heard of hallucinations, ChatGPT will depending on the parameters you give it, it will attempt to give you an answer, which means sometimes it'll just make it up. And the things you'll find that sometimes the things it tells you don't actually exist and things like this, but they'll logically will fit, mm-hmm. they just don't really exist. And so to prevent hallucinations, you have certain parameters that you need to set in order to ensure that the engine will only answer back things that that actually exist. And then also provide a boundary around the logic that it can use in order to construct an answer.
Fascinating. I'm so glad I had you on. This is just, I'm learning all kinds of things. And I did actually read several articles about this before I even brought you on. So, but you were taking it a whole other level. So one thing I have learned is that there's the criticality of prompts, and the quality of your prompt is really what delivers the quality of a response. Talk to us about prompts.
Yeah. So prompts, prompt engineering, as what it's now called, is extremely important and is the thing that can ensure that you can use GPT type technologies and large language models to expand the number of tasks that it can perform. So to give an example, currently in the base model, you put a prompt in there. It will provide you back, the best answer that it can, but that is without context. There is a language where you can provide, that is Microsoft supports, where you can provide a context for the system itself to say, system, you are an expert in accounting.
Right.
And then you can also set context to who the user is. The user is a person that really needs accounting help, right? You set that context. And then you can provide other context to in the form of lists and things like that, and embeddings about the situation that you're wanting to ask about. And then you ask the question. Right now, with that formed prompt structure, you're going to get back very accurate responses, right? That are more accurate than if you just blast away, without any structure to your prompt.
And I've even played with this because I do have the free version. I've actually done a few chats now, and it's been interesting. But even in what I discovered is that when you tell it to do something like give me a satirical response, something specific was pretty interesting that you could actually really define, or something that's cutting edge, or something that would be considered controversial. I thought that was really pretty interesting that you could be that specific, and it would actually deliver a pretty finite response to that.
Oh, absolutely. ChatGPT GPT-3 was the version that was starting to become aware to that extent, to understand nuances and meaning and understanding. Now, GPT-4 goes way beyond that. Hmm. It's able to actually construct logic around those areas of subject matter. It is more than a little leaps and bounds ahead of GPT-3 in its potential to provide guidance, answers, and things like that.
How long has this technology been around?
Transformer technologies have been around for about 4 to 5 years. And it started with GPT-2, which was the first model that really started getting good results with regard to asking random questions in a particular subject matter area and getting back really good responses. GPT-3 went another level and can actually construct lists of things, of suggestions for things to do, right?
Yeah.
When you give a certain condition. And GPT-4 goes even beyond that to be able to draw conclusions.
Wow, that is so cool.
Yes.
That's amazing, absolutely amazing. Okay, so now I want to bring this into the application here. So as I said in the very beginning, what made me want you to come on the show was we had a conversation about, I was saying something about, gosh, the universities, I'd hate to be a professor today, and trying to decide who actually wrote these papers. And you said something like, well, it's going to require them professors to be more on their toes and know their area, which I thought was really interesting. So now what I want to pull up for you is, I want you to talk to us about how ChatGPT can be used to challenge traditional models of education, and can it replace human teachers?
Yes, actually, okay, so the answer to both those is yes. I've long been, had as a side interest, you know, disrupting education. And to give you an example of where I believe education needs to be disruptive is that educational systems, especially public education, they're forced to orient their model around the lowest common denominator, the average student, you know, who who is either a visual or auditory learner, not so much the hands-on type learner. And as a result, there are kids who are really smart that suffer from kind of being a square peg in a round hole going through standard education. Because of GPT-4 specifically, which is what we call multimodal, meaning that it can process more than just text and things like that. It can process sound, video, images,
wow.
and provide those back. So as a result, as a training tool, it's particularly powerful. There's not anything, any subject matter that you couldn't explore using with a proper set of prompts and learn about using GPT-4, because you can set your level of context as you know, the user at any level. If you ever have tried to say, you know, explain, you know, Newton's third law of thermodynamics, as if I was a 5-year-old, it mm-hmm. will give you an excellent response that will take into account that you're 5.
That's amazing.
And you can move up from there to say, you know, whatever background you have, you want to learn about, you know, mathematics. And mathematics, I believe, is one of the places that GPT technologies generative AI technologies can be of particular use, because it's hard to find truly good math teachers that understand math at a level that it's notoriously the hated subject for most kids in school is math. And it's all because it's not taught properly. Hmm. And GPT-3 and 4 can provide you a math teacher that will understand you and how to explain certain nuances to you, whether it be parabolic equations, you know, differential equations, calculus, algebra, trigonometry. All of those can be put in context, in your context. And it really helps when it comes to, especially since you can also eventually train GPT to take into account cultural background type of things. So if you come from a particular cultural background, you have a greater chance of understanding the content that is in textbooks and things like that than someone from a different background. Mm-hmm. And these things can be accounted for in the use of generative AI technologies to assist in training people to understand anything of any complexity from where they are.
It's amazing, Travis. This is so cool. Let's grab our last break here. I'm your host, Dr. Elise Cortez. We've been on the air with Travis James, who is the founder of Tribe Health Solutions. We've been talking a bit about how we can use ChatGPT now, first in education. After the break, we're going to get into how we can use it in other industries, including healthcare. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Dr. Elise Cortez is a management consultant specializing in meaning and purpose, an inspirational speaker and author. She helps companies visioneer for greater purpose among stakeholders and develop purpose-inspired leadership and meaning-infused cultures that elevate fulfillment, performance, and commitment within the workforce. To learn more or to invite Elise to speak to your organization, please visit her at elisecortez.com. Let's talk about how to get your employees working on purpose. This is Working on Purpose with Dr. Elise Cortez. To reach our program today or to open a conversation with Elise, send an email to Elise, A-L-I-S-E, at elisecortez.com. Now, back to Working on Purpose.
Thanks for staying with us and welcome back to Working on Purpose. If you're just joining the program now, my guest is Travis James. He is the fractional CTO of Tribe Health Solutions. He has over 20 years of experience in software development, machine learning, architecture, natural language processing, and decentralized distributed systems, and has been teaching us about how to leverage ChatGPT to increase effectiveness and to distinguish our individual contribution. I'm your host, Dr. Elise Cortez. So I noticed on your LinkedIn profile that you have you reshared an article that I thought was pretty interesting. It was about how ChatGPT for health providers and how can the chatbot make the professionals' jobs easier? So can you comment a bit about that? How does it make their jobs easier?
Sure. So the cool thing about GPT technologies as it specifically applies to healthcare, really have to do with the fact there's a shortage of healthcare workers in certain areas. To give an example, there's a dramatic shortage of mental health practitioners. And it's very difficult to find a mental health practitioner, especially for children, which is a passion of mine because I have a son who has schizophrenia. And it was a real difficult journey to find the right kind of practitioner that would take the time to diagnose them properly and get them on the right medication, right? And so to give an example of what I've done, one thing I've done personally with GPT technologies is I've used them along with certain outputs from assessments to determine what type of second generation antipsychotics would be best to prescribe for my son for schizophrenia. And there's some 30 different variations that all act on the same receptors and everything in different ways, have different side effects. But what I found alarming was that the statistics are horrible with regard to getting the right medication applied. There's only a 20% chance of this is going to a practitioner that you have found after probably months of waiting, and they do an assessment and they write a prescription, and that prescription has a 20% chance of working, right?
Wow.
Now I have constructed one of the models that we're playing with, where I can hit it right around 80% at the moment. With some specific training, other things we're working on, we could get that to 90-95%, to where we, because all the data that's needed to support you is already out there, and you actually have a lot of it, but it's not actionable. And that's what Tribe Health is about, is getting your medical records, getting all your medical data, and all the data about you put in a form that is actionable to be able to help you, that tools can be used to help you. And that is what's going to change the face of medicine, is being able to do that, especially since one of the uses of ChatGPT is have fine-tuned models that can take you through conversations with what would be normally a therapist, because there's such a shortage, right? You could provide some measure of self-care that's automated through AI that can bridge the gap, right, between your current state and your to-be condition at some level. And we started that work a couple years ago when we wrote an app that is now used by, it's called Cortico, sold by a company called Lexapol, that is used by first responders all across the country. In fact, about 90% of the jurisdictions inside of California use Cortico to support the mental health wellness of their police officers. And in there, we have a little mini assessment that you can take to say whether you are at risk for PTSD, for bipolar disorder, or some of these other little things. And the data is kept local and private so that it cuts in the stigma that is normally associated with pursuing mental health treatment and counseling. And that's where the bots as they evolve in mental space could really help out a lot, because it cuts the stigma out. You're not talking to a person that where you're worried that that person might tell your superior officer or someone that you wouldn't want to know that you were there, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's all private and encrypted for you. And that's what our platform provides you, is a way to make your data actionable in a number of ways, not just mental health, but also, you know, when it comes to cardiology, when it comes to, you know, anything that can be predicted from your sleep, all those things can be done in a way that you can be alerted first of certain things that you would normally go to a doctor for a checkup to see. Mm-hmm. And then tell you that, hey, you might want to go to your cardiologist because you might have, you might be at risk for a stroke because we've detected these types of, you know, these patterns. And things that you would have to otherwise wait for a negative event to occur that then gets you into the healthcare system to then maybe find it or maybe not.
Wow, Travis, you know, I very frequently on the show, when I'm talking to my guest, I get so present to, you know, we all have one precious life. What are you doing with your one precious life to make a difference? And I really applaud what you're doing with your one precious life to make a difference. This is just amazing. So now I'm going to ask a very selfish question. So you know that I'm a management consultant, and of mm-hmm. course, the work that I do is so much about speaking and teaching and such. And it's obviously, it's got a psychological component to it. It's got a spiritual component to it. How can I better use this kind of technology to better serve my clients?
Well, you know, that is another place where I believe this will have in the next iterations, GPT-5 and beyond, will have great impact on your ability to clone yourself.
That sounds good. I could handle that. That sounds good.
So you take all of your expertise in your field, all your experiences, all your knowledge, and let's say you can embed all of that into a model that is trained similarly to ChatGPT to be ChatGPT dash Dr. Cortez. Mm. And you can actually offer up a chat where a person can talk to you, get all of your answers as if you the one giving them, because it's been trained on all of your logic, your behavior, all the things you've ever written, and the parameters around how you come to certain types of conclusions. And it would do a very good job of giving the same kinds of answers. And then you can set into it parameters that say if your tolerance level as far as the probability of the answer being correct gets to X amount, that you drop out and say, well, I really can't answer that for you, and then we will let you pick it up with you or someone you designate to be able to get into the human version of your ecosystem. And that's where I think it will allow you to make more money off your content, because now people don't just read your content. They can have a conversation with you about that content and in relation to everything else in the world has ever been written in that subject. And then allow you to be able to provide a mechanism for sharing your knowledge with others without having to be the one that's there doing it.
Oh my gosh, Travis, that's so exciting. Thank you so much for that question. That was so cool. Okay, now we can't really not address the big elephant in the room. For some people that are really just frightened silly by this technology here, they're worried about job losses in various fields. But, you know, they're worried lots of things. It's going to take over. People will become obsolete. How do you respond to those kinds of big concerns?
Well, and it depends on what your purpose as a person is, as to whether you need to worry. Right. And depending on your purpose, it may not. You probably need to worry, but you probably need to adjust your thinking anyway. You know, because ChatGPT can't replace a human. It can perform a lot of human tasks, automate a lot of them, but it never takes away a job. It would change the way you would do a job, and if you're counting on you know, gas engines, you know, if you're banking on gas engines for as an example, being the way we're going to build cars forever, Mm-hmm. And you feel entitled in being able to build and service gas engines. Well, that's not a reasonable expectation. So because we all evolve, everything evolves. You always need a human for something. And what your job would probably change to be is being an input mechanism to this engine to continue to train it, rather than actually doing that engine's job, which would be a job that's also worth more money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've always said, and that's, I've talked about this in my first book as well, so I align very much with that. So now if we can take it one step further, and this is where I get really excited about this as well, is somewhere in a conversation or something that I read here, something about the notion of how we can actually use technologies like ChatGPT to enhance our own individual distinction in the way that we work and express ourselves. How can we do that?
Well, I can give you a personal example on that. I think, as a lot of my friends and family do, for about 15 years or more, actually net closer to 17, every morning when I do my personal reading and personal development, I pick a quote out of that reading or a quote that someone shared in the context of that reading. And that strikes a chord with me if something I'm trying to work on or is something that that means something to me. And I send it out as a text quote to everyone on my current list. And I probably have like 40 people on that list currently. Now, over the years, at first, it was just text I would send. Then I started mixing in images, and I would go out to something like Getty's Images or something like that, pick an image that I think would fit the quote and everything, because I found it was a powerful combination. You're hitting two senses there, you know, or two types of thought patterns when it comes to art and then text, you know, to really cement the idea of the quote. Well, since then, I've gone another level where I use ChatGPT to actually generate a style of prompt that I then pass to a Stable Diffusion model to generate an image that provides an idea of the quote that has never existed before. And then I put the text of the quote on top of that. And that I have found to be the most powerful expression of so far. Of the ideas with these quotes, because it provides a visual that is tied to the essence of the quote. And I have just in the past year evolved how I generate the prompts for those things and the chain that I use for those things in order to generate specifically the types of images, the imagery that you want. And the future of this is to be able to use that in mental health treatment and also just encouraging people, even in the workplace. And you can take into account, because of the generative model, you don't have to generate the same image for everyone. You could generate a different image
Wow.
for a person based on their particular situation, what you know about them, or what the engine knows about them because of what information they provided. And you can end up with really powerful personalized representations of an idea that you want to express to those people that would then really help them.
Hmm. That's so cool. Well, we ran out of time already here, but I want to give you the chance to close here. So, Travis, you know this show is listened to or watched by people around the world. We care about elevating the experience of work and our place in it. What would you like to leave people with today?
I would like to leave people with the idea that that technology sometimes gets a bad rap of being impersonal and really less than artistic. And I would say it's actually in reverse, that technology, when used properly, can take into account all of the factors that make each and every person unique and give them precisely the answers that they need when they need them, in the context that they need them.
What a beautiful way to finish, Travis. You've sold me for sure. Thank you very much for being on Working on Purpose. It's been great to have you and great to learn from you and be inspired by you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, viewers, if you want to learn more about Travis, James, or the work he and his team are doing at Tribe Health Solutions, just go to tribehealthsolutions.com. See you next week for another elevating conversation. And remember that work is an integral and important part of our lives. It can be one of the best adventures and means of realizing our potential and making the impact we crave. So let's work on purpose.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's program. Be sure to tune into Working on Purpose featuring your host, Dr. Elise Cortez, each week on W4CY. Together, we'll create a world where business operates conscientiously, leadership inspires impassioned performance, and employees are fulfilled in work that provides the meaning and purpose they crave. See you there. Let's work on purpose.